This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
This offense will be calibrated with Caleb in mind. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. No, we're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next.
With Spiegel at Holmes.
But with Ben, he has a vision of how he wants things done.
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
On 670 The Score.
Come on now. Hey, man. I don't throw the challenge out if I don't think the dude can respond. And not only does he respond by including Jarrett Payton from like 8 minutes ago, but he throws in Steve Stone to shove it back in my face.
Oh, that is delicious.
That's what we got.
That is so great.
With Shane and Tanny, we got...
Dude, when you were doing that FanDuel read, I said to Tanny, dude, if he messes up one syllable, we're just going to jump in.
And I almost did. What did Jared say? Shane and Tanny, two of the best behind the board. So, like, I love when you guys get credit for each other's work.
Well, we normally sit much closer, but I'm normally touching the board with him.
I like it. I mean, it's a new board. Now everyone can get a piece of it, and, you know, everyone can get credit for it. That is outstanding. Ben's vision today, we are going to focus in on not the offense, but the defense. The hiring of Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen, a lifer in the coaching field, a well-respected defensive coach who has had head coaching experience, so there's an opportunity there for him to be a good ear to bend for Ben.
And I think that principally when we talk about the defense and scheme, if it's not full on Dennis Allen's vision, it's pretty damn close. I mean, this is a guy who you can just turn it over to with all his success as a D coordinator. And of course, his stints as a head coach can inform that as well.
And I imagine with some principles that maybe Ben Johnson would want to instill.
Without a doubt.
But I also think that he went hunting. I think Ben Johnson went hunting for this particular defensive coordinator because he understood from his relationship with his own head coach that this guy knew what he was doing.
For sure, and Dan Campbell spent a lot of time in New Orleans. He knew Dennis Allen very well. So they did not know each other, Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, but they had Dan Campbell in common, which is pretty great. But anytime we talk about this, and like we are right now, we should remind people, just in case, when these two guys initially spoke, because I like to think of the exact moment. Here's Dennis Allen on when he and Ben got connected.
When Ben asked me if I would be interested, there was a couple of places that I felt like had the pieces in place to potentially be a really good football team. And Chicago was obviously one of them. And so I was excited when he wanted me to come along with him. I got away from football a little bit. I'm not going to forget football in a couple of months. It's going to be there when I get back, you know. So I just really wanted to take the time to do some things that you don't really get an opportunity to do a lot in our profession, and hanging out with family on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Hanging out on Thanksgiving.
Dude, he got fired on the 4th of November. So when Thanksgiving happens, Dennis Allen is able to just relax and watch football with family. Do you remember watching football on Thanksgiving, Lawrence?
Yes. It is seared into my brain of my poor little dad not coming to dinner because he couldn't understand what just happened.
So Ben
it
Johnson.
It broke my dad's brain.
Ben Johnson has known he was probably going to get a job. Maybe he was thinking Chicago. Watching that end of that Detroit game on Thanksgiving, Dennis Allen is probably thinking, boy, I think this job might open soon.
Well, and then it did 24 hours later. The head coaching job was available, and Ben clearly had a vision for what he wanted to do.
Oh, this is game. No.
No is right, Jim and Tony.
I'm imagining Dennis Allen with a piece of pecan pie going, huh, I wonder what Chicago's going to be like this time of year.
Also, Ryan Poles listens to the show. He just said Ben's vision in the intro to Drew Dalton.
There we go.
Okay, well, yeah. Good. Well, now we got another thing to add.
Tanny, by the end of the segment. No.
No, let's not do that to him again.
Let the man relax.
Let him relax. Dennis Allen, known for being an attacking defensive coordinator. I kept thinking about, I had that conversation with Kirby Smart at SEC Media Days, and it's the same type of thing where, sure, a lot of defensive coordinators are reacting to the offense. I want to make the offense react to us.
Yes.
And that's how Dennis Allen gets down.
It's a 4-3 scheme, like Matt Eberflus and like many others you've seen, but that's just the base of it. He will show you lots of different stuff. Your guy Alex Brown was terrific the other day with us talking about Dennis Allen's scheme from his perspective. Now, Allen wasn't the DC when Alex was in New Orleans.
He was the defensive backs coach back when Alex played that one season in New Orleans. Alex isn't listening, is he? Do you remember Alex's greatest moment?
Oh, I don't know if I would say great. I would say that
infamous moment in New Orleans.
He got trucked by Marshawn Lynch.
He wasn't
not trucked. He was thrown off by Marshawn Lynch.
He missed him twice.
Oh, he missed him twice.
Because he didn't loaf. He got up and he ran him down. And then watch the play. It's amazing because Alex doesn't get him initially, and then he gets down 20 yards down the field where Marshawn is.
I had to Google just to remind myself. The beast quake.
The beast quake happened, and Alex was a part of it. But he also played while Dennis Allen was on the coaching staff, and he gave us a really good primer. So if you want to know what defensive eyes think about what Dennis Allen's system is, here's AB to break it all down.
So having players that can play multiple positions, I think, is what they'll be looking for to fit in these defenses. So they don't have to – so offensive coordinators don't know what they're doing when they get a certain package out there or a certain guy runs on the field. They don't know. So if you can intertwine guys and have guys play different positions then I think that defense works the best that way. If he's able to do that, if he's still running the same thing that I remember from being down in New Orleans. So what it's going to require, what you think about in a 4-3 defense, there is so much more to think about in Dennis Allen's defense. Like if it's 2x2 or if it's 3x1, three receivers on one side, one receiver on the other side, you have a totally different job, and you have to know that. So the defensive line in a 4-3, I didn't care what the receivers were doing unless I was in a zone blitz. But in this particular defense, you will have to know where the running back's lining up, where the fullback is, or where the tight end is lining up, because it changes what you're going to do. So it's a lot more to think about. But if the guys can get it, it really puts the offense in a bind, because you hear the checks that the offense is making, and before the ball is snapped, you already know, if he makes this check and they – saying everything right, well, our safety is going to hit him in the back of the head if he don't get rid of the ball right now. Everybody knows that. So in that defense, you already know the big plays is going to be made prior to the ball being snapped or the opportunity to make a big play.
Now, we're going to focus on the defensive line here in Ben's vision, so we won't talk about the many different coverages that he uses in the back as he's shifting with these multiple looks. But suffice to say, if you are a defensive end in Dennis Allen's defense, you got to be ready to play wide where you are wider than the tight end and kind of a standard front. You got to be ready to play where you are head up on the tight end. And you even got to be ready to play inside that because he will bring two linebackers down. He will very often go with what they call the Oaky front, where he only uses three defensive linemen and moves both linebackers up to the line of scrimmage. Sometimes, like the Oaky front is when they're around the nose tackle in those two A gaps, have both linebackers there. But he's also, in researching this morning, Lawrence, he will play the linebackers on the outside.
Sure will.
Sometimes. So we have both linebackers up. Imagine TJ and Tremaine lined up on the outside as ends, both as like additional ends. And he could do that with Kyler. He could do that with anybody.
And it messes with your protection count if you're the offensive line.
Yes.
You're like, well, wait. What is the middle of the defense now?
So, and in those situations, the three defensive linemen that he's using, who knows exactly who it's going to be, but you might be a DN that's suddenly lining up inside in this moment. You got to be ready to do anything so you can help him surprise the opposition.
Or a defensive tackle that somehow finds himself out as a five technique in some of this stuff.
And guess what? Guys like Chris Jones, who can rush the passer, mm-hmm. So often you'll see them on the outside. Chris Jones goes outside in the playoffs way more than he does in the regular season because they know what a weapon he is. So it's about using matchups and being multiple. And everything, all the guys they've signed fit that.
I did laugh a little bit as we're listening back to AB talk about, you know, our safety is going to hit your quarterback in the head. And I just kept thinking, Kyler is going to be hitting the quarterback in the head.
You're right, man. And because I was thinking about the linebackers, I'm like, I don't know for sure that he's going to use Tremaine that way. You probably want Tremaine and his length to stay back. He'll use Kyler that way.
I honestly can't wait to see what Dennis Allen is able to do with Kyler Gordon and the way that he's going to be able to use the line and use different fronts to make offenses uncomfortable. He's like a mad scientist, and I love that. I also
think, by the way, Tyrann Mathieu.
That's the comp that I keep giving people.
In New Orleans these past few years. Tyrann Mathieu just re-signed there again. Dennis Allen's been having some fun with Tyrann Mathieu.
If you want to do Tyrann Mathieu, you could also go Rondé Barber.
Oh, for sure. Like but Mathieu right there with Dennis mm-hmm. these past few years.
It could be a whole lot of fun. And that got us to thinking, too. Modern defenses versus modern offenses. Now, we had Brent Venables, who, if you look at his career...
Always excited for that booking.
Very much so. You look at his career and look at the way that he has risen in the ranks. He's been a defensive guy. He coached Grady Jarrett. So we asked him about what defenses have to do to deal with modern offenses.
The offenses are finding ways to create leverage through lots of the quick motions and snapping the ball and all those pinch sets, you know, inside out motions across the, you know, the ball motions and finding all different types of ways to create leverage in both the passing game, the throwing game, and the running game, and to gain leverage on, you know, the defenses. So if you can get some of the, you know, if they can neutralize your best inside players by, you know, getting in the pinch sets and throwing the ball quick and getting into a nice rhythm, but also getting into the pinch sets to run the football, I think offenses are more effective than they ever been at doing that.
Well, that's interesting. So you know, should you be moving around defensive linemen more, like trying to control the line of scrimmage, control that those matchups as best you can?
Well, again, I mean, it's easier said than done, but one of the reasons they get into those pinch sets so much, you see everybody does it to run it and throw it. It's hard to press those. And then, you know, back in the day, you just play cover two coverage to it, but now they can just put your flat defenders in such compromising positions. And so, you know, and back in the day, the pinch sets were all the different types of ways to throw the football. Now everybody's running the football out of those. And so it just makes it harder than ever to create edges to the defense. and really good stuff by the offense.
The idea of the conflict defender, we hear it in a lot of different offensive thoughts on that you want to make sure that that player is never right. With the athletic quarterbacks, it really puts the flat defender in a bind because they usually will have to make a choice on what to do. The great quarterbacks, they have a lot of fun with it. They ball fake even though they're 5 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage and can't actually throw the ball, and it messes with people. And what he's talking about with those pinch sets too, it's so weird because when we were having the conversation about Smythe and we were talking with Logan Paulson, that's what he was talking about, how the Bears' offense is going to do exactly what Brent Venables was saying that defenses are looking for.
Yeah.
And because of the way that you could use the two tight end sets to change the way that it looks, it could mean a lot of cool, interesting things for Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams.
I got to tell you, we've talked a lot, and Grady Jarrett brought it up yesterday, about iron sharpening iron, offensive players and defensive players making each other better on the practice field. How about an offensive guy like Ben Johnson and a defensive guy like Dennis Allen really getting to talk scheme against each other and coach against each other during training camp, think about stuff all week? Like, and Dennis has been a head coach, like this relationship, and it'll grow, obviously, but like to have the opportunity, I mean, it's the dream. I don't know how much Matt Nagy used Vic Fangio. I know he should have, but I also know that Matt Nagy wasn't flexible and facile. This is what we've learned about Ben Johnson, is that he is flexible and facile. He's got a lot of different things he can do, and he will happily move from one to the other depending on the skill sets of his people. We talked about that a lot yesterday. And by the way, you're going to hear from Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles in our next segment about the offensive line. But, I mean, Dennis Allen will inform him about schemes and the way that he attacks the stuff that Ben Johnson wants to do. They should make each other smarter.
The thing that you're talking about where the temperature's getting turned up in practices at Hallis Hall.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, when I heard Grady Jarrett talking yesterday, I felt that in my soul, that these are going to be the type of practices that you want to see, because he is not afraid of anything, and he thinks that his best ball is still ahead of him.
Because if I didn't have that confidence, I wouldn't be sitting here. You know, if I got comfortable after my first contract extension, I wouldn't be sitting here. If I got comfortable after my second contract extension, I wouldn't be sitting here. And at the end of the day, this new contract that I got with a new team is just motivating me, you know. And I'm going to be like that till, you know, the day I can't do this no more. But until that, I'm going to always strive to be better. I'm going to always strive to learn. And you know, you never really figure it all out. The day you think you figure it all out, you're going to go down. And so that's what I'm excited about, and that's what I'm confident in. My body is good. My body is strong. And my mind is, you know, hungry to learn. I'm just in a position to where I'm in a special place at the right time with around the right people. And I'm super excited for what's to come.
Man, Grady Jarrett knows what he's doing, and we know that he is going to play three technique in this defense, but he will move around like all these defensive linemen will have to move around. He was a 3-4 defensive end for a couple years down there in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So he has done that job. In a 3-4, he was the DN. Moved around a little, but this is a guy, he can just play all over the line as needed. He was double teamed or chipped on just under 60% of his pass rushing snaps last year. So he's still a guy who demands a double team. That's top 20 around the NFL among defensive tackles. So he's still a guy who you have to think about and try to double team. And man, just reading about it today, it's like Dennis Allen wants defensive tackles who can occupy double teams. Mm-hmm. And that's Big Bill. That's Big Bill. That's Big Bill's, Andrew Billings' big skill, being able to just occupy double teams and hold his ground. I mean, I can't wait to watch Billings and Jarrett on this line together.
It could be a whole lot of fun. So while we've got the sexy defensive talk going on inside of Ben's vision, there's some sexy offensive talk going on up at Hallis Hall. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to share it with you. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes talking ball with you on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
We want some tough, some gritty, some dirty individuals, and we feel pretty good about the two guys we got.
Ben Johnson yesterday talking about all the new players that have been brought in to Hallis Hall. Another one is able to be discussed today, or two are able to be discussed today.
Yeah, a couple. So Drew Dahlman and Dio Odengbo able to be discussed today. So that meant Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles again with a chance to lean heavily on the offensive line and Drew Dahlman in conversation.
So let's hear what the GM and the head coach had to say about how they're building this offensive line, and let them get into the weeds a little bit with the addition of Drew Dahlman.
So happy to introduce two guys that we signed, and Drew and Dio. With Drew, it'll be hard to explain his game better than Grady did yesterday. I thought he did a fantastic job explaining who Drew is as a football player. But I'm excited about him, just his ability to reach, cut off, work in the outside zone scheme, get to the second level, as well as be really a good partner inside to the guards and pass pro. His addition, along with Joe and Jonah, is really going to make the interior of our offensive line strong. So we're excited about that. And then with Dio, his ability to play the run and rush the passer from different locations, outside, inside, is, again, going to make our defensive line even better. With both these guys, the same as yesterday, fantastic players, but even better human beings and people. Did a lot of work on our background, making sure that they fit what we want in terms of our culture. And they do exactly that. They're going to enhance what we got going on and make our locker room even better than what it is today. So excited for both those guys to come onto our team. I'll open up to questions.
Not everyone at once.
Ryan, with the pass rush, as you try to stack up the defensive line, and you have Montez already, what is the best case scenario with this group? How do you see this playing out if everything works out the way you're envisioning?
Yeah, an improved pass rush. You can't have enough pass rushers on your team. But for this first group, to be able to line in different alignments, to be relentless, get the quarterback off the spot. Again, Grady kind of hit on all those topics yesterday. But for that part of our game, and we all watched the Super Bowl, right? Like, you want to have waves of pass rushers. So if all of those guys are getting better and they're working together, I really think we can affect the passer, and therefore it's going to put our team in a really good position.
Is the pass rush still a group that you're looking to add to?
Like I said, you can't have, you know, enough pass rushers. We're always looking to add and improve that group. But I feel good about where we are today.
Hey, Ryan, the sack numbers don't necessarily pop off the page with Dio. What is it that you're projecting or hoping for or seeing in him in terms of being that guy opposite of Montez Sweat?
Yeah, if you watch the tape, you understand how disruptive he can be. And again, both inside and outside. And I also believe, you know, he's 25. He's played a few years in the league. I honestly, and this goes into our collaboration and working well in terms of the front office and coaching staff. We believe that there's even more room to grow for him to continue to get better. I think it's really cool he gets to come here and play for Jeremy, our defensive line coach, who, you know, they work together while they're in Vanderbilt as well. So,
Ryan, with a lot of unpredictability, what could happen, but with Drew, was he somebody that you had targeted long ago, saying, like, that's going to be someone we're going after immediately?
Yeah, so as our pro staff puts our free agent board together, I often, throughout the season, kind of take a peek at it as I kind of forecast forward. And his name popped up and put tape on, and he was definitely someone that was at the very, very top of our list. We knew how important that was going to be. Again, what makes you even more convicted and it allows us to be aggressive in going to get a player in free agency is when we have alignment. So having Dan and Kyle and Coach lined up with a vision and fit in the role, we felt really good about being aggressive to get Drew here.
Ryan, as you interact with free agents and potential free agents or, you know, potential signees this week, what is your sense of what Caleb has done to make this an appealing place to come?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's excited about where Caleb can go. We all know that there's a lot of growth that has to happen to get him to where he needs to be. But that excitement in terms of what he can be obviously, you know, helps get other coaches and players excited to be here and work with him and help get him to where he needs to be.
Ben, do you see that too?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he put a lot of good stuff on tape last year, and I think everyone recognizes that as they see the crossover tape and they're watching that each week. So, listen, we got a lot of really strong building blocks to get this thing going in the right direction.
So a couple things, Lawrence, the defensive line coach from Vanderbilt as collaboration for the Dio signing, and then the mention of Dan Rauscher, Kyle Divan, who's the assistant offensive line coach, and Ben Johnson for alignment. That's the definition of alignment, not the years and the contract stuff, but the coaches and the front office being aligned on the player, so he's having the conversations.
And Poles mentions that thing that we were talking about, that thing that we were talking about in the first segment, he mentions the collaboration with the coaching staff.
Damn right.
On these free agent hires, that signings. They're saying, look, we believe that this coaching staff should have a place in helping us decide all of this.
Imagine that, asking the coaches. Here's more from Ben and Ryan.
Ben, it's been about 7 weeks since you got here. Can you take us through kind of what's left an impression on you about sharing your vision, unifying it with Ryan, and then obviously these last 2 weeks turning it into action to get pieces that you want?
Yeah, I mean, we spent time every single day since I've been in the building, just me and him with his group, me with my group, and you know, it's been between the scheme, talking about prototypes and what that looks like for each position group. That's me sitting in with some of the preliminary draft meetings and getting a feel for how they operate. I've got a lot of respect for his crew, that group of scouts. They've done a phenomenal job this fall collecting information and really starting to set that board for when it is time to pick those players. I feel strongly about that process, and it's been a day-by-day, week-by-week process getting on the same page, but it's been very good so far.
With Drew specifically, when you watch his tape, what are the things as a center that appeal to you the most?
Yeah, I talked about intelligence, and that's, I think at that spot is critical. He's going to be the quarterback of our offensive line. He'll be setting the protections and the run game for us, something he's done in his past, and I think we can put even more on his plate than what he's been exposed to previously. And so I'm excited about that. He's still learning. He's still growing as a player, so he has not hit his ceiling yet either. He's already asked me several times, what did you see on tape that I can get better at? And so that's the type of person we're getting. He just sees this as the next step as in his growth, and I think that's going to translate to the rest of the room as well. We have some young talented players. I said to him earlier today that, you know, you usually play with 8 or 9 guys over the course of the season. So it's not just the starting group that needs to be gelled, but we have some depth players, some young guys that may or may not be in the building right now that we're going to be counting on. And he's going to help spearhead that charge in terms of getting everyone ready to play on Sunday.
Ben, I was actually asked a similar question, so I'll tweak it a little bit. Like, in the eyes of, you know, kind of marrying the center with the quarterback, how do you envision Drew and having sort of a veteran presence there, stability at that position, helping Caleb in terms of what he's seen at the line of scrimmage and beyond?
Yeah, to me, those two positions, they work together. And so at the line, we'll kind of see what direction we want to take this offense. Is it going to be more of a perfect play mentality where we have multiple calls and we're getting to the right thing? Or are we trying to play with more tempo? There's a lot of different directions we can go. And that's why we just need to get the guys in here so we can get started with that process. But those two guys need to see the game the same way. Much like I was talking about, the quarterback needs to see the game through the play caller's eyes. Same thing with the quarterback in the center position, between the run game, making sure the perimeter unit is locked in with what the core is doing. And then in pass pro, everyone needs to know where our issues are so that we're not getting stuck in some bad situations. That this day and age, I think the hardest problems defenses give us is schematically in the pass rush game, the blitz pickup and those things, particularly on third down. And so I feel strongly that Drew is going to have the acumen to be able to help us out and problem solve. There's unscouted looks each and every week that if as long as you understand the rules of protection, we can figure it out, but everything's happening quickly. So it's a fun challenge, and I know Drew and Caleb are looking to grow together that way.
I thought that was awesome on quarterback and center working together. You know what he does when he kind of pauses and takes over the question? Like he pauses, like the thing with yesterday that we played yesterday for people where he pauses and like, look, on this coaching staff, I didn't hire my friends. I hired this guy. When he pauses and takes over and goes kind of stream of consciousness, he gives you big picture philosophy nuggets. He just said there, we're kind of figuring out what we're going to be. Are we going to be a perfect play mentality?
I wrote that down too.
Like, are we? And that's him talking. Like, are we going to be a perfect play mentality where we go up to the line with two or three options and then choose the perfect play for the moment? Or are we going to be a team that plays with tempo? So you can't do both. He's trying to figure out which one they'll do, and that could shift. But he doesn't know which one they are yet because he hasn't gotten in there and worked with them yet.
Right, and they'll have an extra mini camp because they have a new head coach. So they'll actually get on the field a little bit earlier than a lot of teams because they usually allow for a coach to have a little bit more time. But I thought about that too. You don't know how all of this is going to work yet. So you can play around and then you can say, okay, this is a strength of the two guys working together, the center and the quarterback. I now know that this is a strength, so we can do this. I like that he has left it open for, let's see.
Got to work with what you have.
Let's see where everyone starts to grow and to strive instead of saying, we're going to do this.
Right, right, right. And just in terms of speech patterns, we hear these coaches so damn much. Just pay attention to when Ben Johnson kind of redirects in the middle of an answer because he's about to give you some big picture thing of the way he thinks.
I also thought that it may give us an idea of the type of player that they're looking for at the running back position because he was talking about blitz pickup and how important that is.
Better be good at that.
You bet. It has to be something that is in your arsenal of skills.
Here's more from Ben and Ryan on the offensive line and the Dio signing as well.
Ben, along those same lines, when you look at the entirety of the offensive line that's coming together here, a lot of new pieces in place. How do you as coaches and you, your coaching staff, you as the head coach, make that transition easy for them, make the gelling process easier on them?
It shouldn't be easy. This should be hard, you know? The spring should be hard. Training camp should be hard. Anything worth doing is hard. So it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of effort. In particular, year one, we should not be comfortable. As we're coming into the springtime, we're going to load these guys up. We're going to see what they can handle. We're going to fail, and that's okay. That's part of how you learn and how you grow and you get better. And so we're going to encourage that as a coaching staff. So nothing about this is about making it easier. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Ryan, when you talk to agents throughout this process and then some of the players you've been allowed to talk to, what's the impact you think of Ben in terms of the interest that people have in terms of the scheme and just being a part of this with him as the head coach?
Yeah, I think it's very similar to, you know, the question you asked about Caleb. There's a lot of excitement working with Ben, seeing the body of work that he had in Detroit and see that grow to what it became is exciting. You want to be a part of exciting football. You want to be a part of scoring a lot of points. You want to be a part of creativity and doing things that are a little bit different. That's fun. That's fun to work in that environment. Obviously, like you said, there's going to be some of those foundational things you got to put together that are tough. But what this can be is really exciting, and a lot of people want to be a part of that.
So just to follow up on the extra mini camp time.
Yes, sir.
Teams that have a returning coach, they start April 21st. That's the first time they can start a mini camp. The Bears can start April 7th.
That's awesome. So he can start teaching these guys stuff and going through their paces and figuring out what he actually has to work with. This shouldn't be easy. This should be hard. That's that like coaching mentality. He's got that part as well.
And there's an honesty to it that I like, that It isn't just football speak. It's This stuff is not easy, and so let's give ourselves the time to get this stuff done correctly.
Texture says, just hearing Ben talk, I can't believe we had to go through Eberflus so long. Like, Ben's communication skills are off the charts. They really are. It's incredibly obvious. But this is a guy. Sometimes coaches can be GM killers. This guy could be a GM saver.
Yep. He can lift Ryan Poles up. Mm-hmm. By just their partnership, which is a really, really good thing. Why don't we hear from the new center?
Yeah, man.
Drew Dahlman spoke. We will let you hear his voice and let you know how excited he is to join this party that the Bears have on their offense. We're talking ball. By the way, baseball hour is coming up at 4. If you're a baseball junkie, you'll want to be here at 4 o'clock. But until then, football and Bears on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Olin Krutz is going to join us to talk about Drew Dahlman.
It's time.
What's up, guys? How's it going, man? The weather is beautiful here in Illinois, and the Bears are building both sides of their lines. Seems like it's kind of like we're in Bizarro World right now.
How bizarre indeed, Olin Krutz, that we are in a place where we are celebrating as a city. The Bears going to rebuild their trenches. You can't make this type of stuff up.
It's pretty amazing, man. And I'm looking forward to hearing this guy. His father was an NFL player and for a short time an NFL line coach. Chris Dahlman played for the Niners and briefly coached in Atlanta, of all places. And now the son, Drew Dahlman, was a free agent, big-time target for a lot of teams around the league, and supposedly took a little bit less money to be here with the Bears. We'll see if it comes up here. Reminder, or promo, we're going to have Drew Dahlman on this show tomorrow, as a matter of fact. But in advance of that,
at 4 o'clock tomorrow,
let's listen to the brand new center of the Bears who addressed the media today.
Drew, welcome to Chicago. Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune. There was some talk out there that you may have had some other opportunities and some other offers somewhere, and you decided to come here because it was a priority for you. What was the appeal here, and what were some of the other things that you had your eyes on elsewhere?
Mm. Yeah, I think, I guess to the second half of that, I'll probably primarily focus on what was attractive about here. But I think the things that are most important to me with football, about the culture that I'm playing in, the people I'm playing next to, kind of the vision for the team as a whole, all those things were top of mind for me as far as finding the next home. And all that stuff was assured to me and made me aware of in the process. So that was awesome and gave me a lot of confidence in the decision and made this place really appealing. And on top of that, you know, the Bears are a historic team. It's an awesome town, and so something that I think everybody wants to be a part of. So it's made the whole thing really, really enticing for me.
Specifically with Ben, what intrigues you about joining forces with him and playing in his offense?
Yeah, I think some of the strengths of my game, when I watch the little bit of Detroit film that I have watched, I feel like they'll be emphasized. And that's what I want to do most, is just add value to this team. And so if I'm doing the things that I really thrive doing, I think that'll be the best for the team. And so that prospect was really interesting. And then there's more areas of my game where I can grow and do different things. And I think that'll be interesting to explore as well.
Patrick Finley with the Chicago Sun-Times. As you were weighing where to go, did you do homework on what players were on which teams? And what do you make of Caleb Williams from afar?
I didn't do a ton, honestly. I feel like I was much more focused on, you know, the scheme and culture and kind of the vision. I feel like there's, you know, excellent players everywhere, so you're always going to be able to find people like that. But now that the process has kind of come to a conclusion, it's exciting to work with a player like that. And I'm really excited to learn from him, as well as do everything I can to help him and take things off his plate so that he can do the things that he does best. And then there's, you know, dozens of other players on this team as I look through the roster that I'm excited to learn from and that have had a ton of success. So I feel like there's opportunities all around me to learn from them and kind of set goals for myself and chase after them.
Hey, Drew. Adam Hoke from CHGO. You had a chance to play the Vikings this past year, and now you're going to play them twice in this division. They're one of the more exotic fronts. It seemed to be one of your better games. So just what do you remember about that game in particular, and just overall your level of comfort of kind of diagnosing things at the line of scrimmage and you know, sort of playing that role within the offense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely present some unique challenges and things that put pressure on an offense. And so I think when I think about that week, it was a lot of front-end preparation and film study and developing tells and things that kind of gave us a hint about what was going to happen post-snap and finding them pre-snap. And when you're playing a defense like that, that's super key with getting everybody on the same page as a center. So, yeah, definitely look forward to doing more of that and developing an understanding. But, yeah, I think that'll be a consistent theme, is just doing everything I possibly can to prepare and stack the deck in our favor so that post-snap we can play fast and aggressive and be all on the same page beforehand.
Hi, Drew. Alex Shapiro, Chicago Sports Network. Along those lines, you know, as a veteran center, diagnosing, being that quarterback of the offensive line, seems like it would be really helpful for a young quarterback like Caleb Williams. You had some experience doing that with Michael in Atlanta, so I'm just curious, what are the ways in which you helped Michael come along at the end of last year, and then how do you think you can apply that with Caleb here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike's an awesome player and an awesome teammate. So, yeah, that was a pleasure, and I think the biggest things are your focus can only be on so many things at once, and there are things that his focus needs to be on and they can't be on anybody else's plate, and there are things that can be handled by other people, so things like the snap count or like elements of protection or the run game or that kind of deal. The less he has to worry about it and the more that we as an O-line can communicate together and diagnose together, the less he has to do it and the more he can focus on the things that are exclusive to him. And so I think that process played out a little bit with Mike, and then I imagine it'll carry over the same. But yeah, it's all about kind of narrowing the aperture about what you're having to focus on and being able to kind of use the O-line as additional eyes for the quarterback.
Last two here.
Hi, Drew, back here. Talk about your experience with Grady and how you guys made each other better in practice.
Yeah, super fortunate to be a teammate with Grady, and it sounds like you guys got a good taste of him yesterday. But yeah, incredible player, incredible guy in the locker room, absolute professional. Like, I remember coming into Atlanta and seeing him go about his business and seeing him work, and I immediately understood, like, okay, this is the gold standard. And then in practice, yeah, making me look silly dozens of times, exploiting my weaknesses, forcing me to learn from them and adapt to them. And so that's been invaluable in my development. And, yeah, I look forward to being able to practice against him more and all that stuff. And a guy that lets us know about our tells and our tendencies, because he'll pick up on them because he's a savvy player in that way. So, yeah, I think he's a huge resource for the offensive line in general.
Nicholas Moriano, the Bigs. When you found out that you're going to be playing next to a guy like Joe Tooney, what was just kind of your reaction when you heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excitement. I've been really fortunate to play with some excellent players so far in my career, playing next to Chris Lindstrom and Matthew Bergeron and Jake Matthews and all those guys. And I feel like I just have so much to learn, and I never feel like I'm a finished product with offensive line play. And so a guy like that that's had so much success, particularly, you know, Super Bowls and all that, I'm like really looking forward to picking his brain and being kind of annoying to him and picking up some of his habits.
Man, he's super smart, very football-y, well-spoken, interesting. Drew Dahlman, looking forward to following up on some of that stuff tomorrow with him. What's a defensive tell? Like poker. Make us smarter on the defensive tells when you can figure out when Brian Flores is blitzing and when he's not.
Yeah, that's definitely something that you have to figure out, of where a guy's foot might be on a particular alignment and whether he's, you know, he's coming or going. He's dropping out. I love that was a great question by Alex about the Penix Caleb comp.
Yes.
And his answer of the idea of taking away things that aren't exclusive to the quarterback.
Yeah, man. And if you can do it as a group, so the line as a group, if they can get wise on snap count together, they can get wise on protections together, they can take it off Caleb's plate.
Narrowing the aperture. That's what he called it. That is that's outstanding. Like, it makes it's such a very clear way to discuss this.
The aperture is the lens, the camera lens.
Yeah. It's I love it because he's right. The quarterback does have, he can do all of these things that you want done as you're getting ready to start a play.
Hey guys, what's the aperture outside right now? Is it about 45?
About 40, 45. 40, 45,
42 like? When I left today.
Okay, yeah.
But the idea of the stuff that isn't exclusive to the quarterback position.
Yeah, man, that's sexy.
Take as much of that stuff away.
I ask every
so that
morning.
He can only focus on what he has to do.
Alexa, what's the aperture? I ask every morning before I step out. You know, I got to figure out which coat to wear.
Does she usually respond?
Oh, sexy, too. Just the way she talks. What, Alexa? It's just mine, anyway.
I get my stuff going for Siri, dude. I don't know about...
Whatever.
It's a great time to break, actually. And I'm not just saying that. This is unrelated.
357?
It is a great time to break.
It really is.
We're going to do an hour of baseball.
I love it. Mark Grody in 1 hour with the best stuff that he heard from Alice Hall, including some stuff off to the side that you haven't heard yet. That's awesome. But it's time for an hour of baseball, and we'll lead it off with our guy John Morosi of the MLB Network. Cubs stuff as well next hour. Keep it all here on The Score.